Hey guys, welcome to the sports podcast. I'm as a sports host, and we're joined by co-host Hershey Pinkel.
Hey guys, okay, we've got a lot. We've got some MLB. We've got, of course, the national championship, which we got to talk about. And nothing really in the NFL. A little bit in the NBA.
Yeah, let's start with the MLB.
Now let's start with some news. First of all, Atlanta shipped their number 12 prospect. And one other pitcher, I'm pretty sure, to the Brewers for shortstop Orlando Arcia. Arcia,
not a good hitter,
a great fielder, could compete for the starting job with players like Jason Kipnis and Dansby Swanson. It's going to be interesting to see. But if you had to choose, who do you think's better for a struggling Braves team right now? Who do you think's better right now, Dansby Swanson or Orlando Arcia?
I mean, both are not great hitters, but they're both good fielders. I think the Braves are with Acuña, Albies, and
Freeman.
Yeah, all the guys that can hit and field. I really think that offense is gonna. If they can, they have such a stacked offense that they can use both, because maybe even switching off, because like the better they're like fielders. Okay, here's the thing about fielders: every MLB player can catch a ground ball or catch a pop up, but not everyone is a great hitter. So I'd say go with the better hitting on that one.
My thoughts is pretty much your same thing, but just for a different reason. Of course, if you've looked at the Braves, they're batting a league worst. I'm pretty sure 128. They're batting worst in the league. Their batting average is worst in the league. And I have to give Dansby Swanson the hitting advantage because he has a little bit of sneaky power.
Yeah.
I say stay with Swanson. Of course, the pitching has been looking elite just like last year. So when your pitching is elite, hard ground balls, hard plays aren't going to be as much as a problem.
Who plays third?
Who plays third for the Braves? Austin Riley. I think Charlie Culberson's gone, so Austin Riley.
Yeah, maybe he can fight for third base.
Yeah, but I think Austin Riley's a better player. Yeah. He has a lot of power.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe take the second base spot from Ozzy Albies plays there. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's move on to Rougned Odor is with the Yankees.
I think for the Yankees this was something I don't understand.
They just have money.
Why? Yeah, they're just shipping players in because they have the money to do it. I think they're pretty much insuring against another injury season.
Yeah.
Because they're the most injury prone team in the MLB.
Oh yeah, also Tatis.
Yeah, every year. Oh yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Every year it has scattered injuries and problems like that. And I think if there's one team that always has that happen, it has to be the Yankees.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to ensure to make sure that doesn't happen again this year, because that would be a big problem.
Yeah.
And also, they have the money to do it.
Yeah, when Tatis got injured, we don't know when he'll be back. And then that's pretty much it for the MLB. We spent like 4 minutes on it. So it's going to be mainly about the national championship, which we're going to talk about right now.
Okay.
So we all knew that the two top teams were Gonzaga and Baylor.
A combined record, I think 53-2 or something. Or
yeah.
55-2.
Yeah, you did guess it right. You had Baylor winning. I had Gonzaga
winning. Not only did I have Baylor winning, I said in the podcast, I'll put that up, our championship preview, I said that they were going to have a comfortable lead.
Yeah, yeah. You said they would win by like 15, and they did.
Yeah, they did. I said they would win by 15, and they won by a good margin. I don't know if they won by 15, probably like 17, 18, but
yeah,
I was close.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, okay, so let's take a step back from the championship. Let's bring it back to the round before that, where Suggs obviously hit the game winner. Let's bring it back to that game. So UCLA, which was obviously the underdogs, just when they made a layup with 3 seconds left to tie the game, Jalen Suggs pulls up from almost half court and just buries it. Not a swish, but a bank off the backboard, a clean shot for the win, which continues their perfect season so far. I think this made Suggs at that time a top two pick.
Yeah, I think maybe not top two. I think Cade might drop, especially the fact that they're not seeing
him. Cade did not do good in March Madness, meaning he could drop, but, I mean, not a lot of teams are going to pass up on a 6-8
point. Yeah, Baylor won by 16.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's just funny that I missed it by one.
Yeah, but what do you think? Okay, so now that Suggs played good,
Suggs played great. I think he had the best game of anyone. He had 22, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Butler had 22 also.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Suggs is a top three pick?
I think Suggs definitely deserves it. I think he will be picked there. Cade's definitely going to be dropped.
Yeah. I think Jalen Green is going to stay where he's at.
Jalen Green might even move up to the number one. Yeah. Evan Mobley could stay where he is, or he could drop down one spot. We'd have to see.
Mobley is around where he's at. Yeah. People have Jalen Green going number five, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think he has such great generational talent.
He's something
you don't want to pass up on. I just want to talk about, to recap this national championship game. Baylor never trailed. Yeah. Has the best defense in the league. And if we're talking about sneaky prospects, we have to talk about Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
I've been following Davion Mitchell for a while now.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's sort of look-alike as a player.
Number 45, Mitchell.
They both talk to each other. Like, Donovan Mitchell wore
Davion Mitchell's jersey when he was going to the game. I saw that. So, of course, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot, but that has nothing to do with Davion Mitchell. I think he's a great player. I think he definitely is going to be a great pick. I think he'll probably stay at Baylor for one more year. He's a junior.
Who's that guy that the MVP for the championship game?
Butler?
I forgot. Yeah, he's such a good shooter. Jared Butler.
Yeah, he's a great
shooter.
Davion Mitchell took a couple charges. Defensive player of the year, I'm pretty sure, for the NCAA.
At one point, Davion Mitchell had a crossover. I think Suggs.
Yeah.
He got crossed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he sort of got crossed up, but then came back with the steal and the and one.
Yeah. But
yeah, let's just talk
Davion
about
Mitchell.
End.
I just like him as like a point guard because he's not even looking to shoot. He's looking to set other people up. He only had 15 points, but he had a good 5 assists.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's definitely a sneaky draft prospect for next year, or if he declares for the draft this year, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Jalen Suggs, the and one, really brought Gonzaga back to life after that. But then Jared Butler hit like 2 threes in a row. One of them was like a really deep three.
Yeah.
So Baylor's just too good beyond the arc.
Yeah, Baylor was amazing beyond the arc. And he's that good.
Yeah, I think a guy that really disappointed me in that game was Corey Kispert.
And not just him, Drew Timmy. Also.
Drew Timmy, yeah, he had like 4 turnovers, which was bad. So I think Kispert was like the guy who didn't do anything that game. Like, he just missed open shots. And in a game like this, you cannot afford that.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
One thing I really want to check on is Wendell Carter Jr., going a little bit off topic.
We can go off topic. We have the time to go.
Yeah, Wendell Carter Jr. Oh, wow. Wow, in his last 3 games, he's averaging 18 points.
You serious? Yeah, 16, 19, 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
he's a very solid player. He's thriving. And I think he's that kind of guy that could suddenly go off as like a
honestly
he's only averaging 11 a game still, but I think he could beat the Nets.
The Bulls did beat the Nets.
But look at Otto Porter Jr. Like, if you look at the trade compensation, the money that they now have, Otto Porter, the highest paid bench player in the league.
Yeah, one guy I'm surprised in is Daniel Tice, who's actually been great.
Yeah, Daniel Tice. And I think he's, like, and I think Otto Porter's injured again.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so is Gaff. Yeah, he played the last two games. He had 6 points and on April 1st. So he hasn't played since then.
Yeah, Gafford also was doing great and then got injured.
Yeah, he had a 22-point night.
Yeah, Gafford.
No, Otto Porter Jr. Gafford was doing great.
Yeah.
He should, Gafford should come back within the next two, three games, though.
Yeah, and him and Bradley Beal are already with good chemistry.
Yeah,
Bradley Beal actually said Gafford is the best lob threat he's ever seen.
Yeah, and Daniel also Wendell Carter Jr. the same thing. Not Wendell Carter. Same with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook threw him some lobs, and I think it's really worked out.
Yeah. Gafford is a great lob threat. He can really do it all. In terms of in the paint, brings energy and all that. But some guys on the Bulls, like Al-Farouq Aminu, I haven't really been seeing like the value in him so far.
Yeah, but I guess he was just something to bring in for defensive purposes. Because they needed, if they're going to send so much for Vooch, they needed another player. And it's not like they're going to give up Terrence Ross, Evan Fournier, or Aaron Gordon for that. So they had to pick someone they wanted on defense. So Al-Farouq Aminu seemed like the right guy, but I don't think he is. I've barely seen him play.
Yeah, same. Same thing with like Troy Brown Jr.
Troy Brown Jr. I've seen a good amount.
But yeah, I mean, I've seen him, but I he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah, other than one cool circus layup.
Yeah, but any like going like the Bulls players, Zach LaVine's getting back to his taking over.
And Kobe White is back. Kobe White's back tonight.
Obviously, Vucevic is dropping like over 10 rebounds a night and over 20 points.
And that's what makes him so valuable.
Yeah, you love to see it. Vooch is doing great. And the Bulls are playing the Pacers tonight. Sabonis against Vucevic.
Yeah.
That's a great matchup. Two all-stars. So we're going to see what happens. I think the Bulls should easily win this game. They beat the Nets. Why can't they beat the Pacers?
And especially with the Pacers having, like, of course they had, the thing is, the Pacers, if they just stayed where they were, without the James Harden trade or anything, they would be one of the best teams in the league. They have three people who average about 20 every year.
Yeah,
Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon and Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert, I think, is a stud. I think Caris LeVert next year, big, this is a big one, but I think Caris LeVert will drop 25 a game next year.
Yeah.
I think he's that much of a stud. He's been doing better and better every year with the Nets last year. He was amazing. And I think he's just going to get better and better.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... Yeah, I think one guy that's really been under the radar is Russell Westbrook. One game in the recent
21
past
assists.
Had 21 assists, 14 rebounds, 35
And
points.
When you get the guy that's racking up assists, if he has good chemistry with Daniel Gafford, I would be scared to be any other team.
Yeah. I mean, plus you're adding Bradley Beal to that team. You're adding a bunch of other guys to that team, which is doing good, which are doing good. One thing I just want to see the Bulls start making a push for the playoffs.
Of course, right now they're right in the now.
But the thing is, yeah, if you're the 9 seed. Or 10 seed, then you have such a little chance.
If you're the how are the Hornets a 5 seed? I don't get it.
And they don't have Gordon Hayward or LaMelo Ball.
So yeah, the thing is, I mean, no, they do have Gordon Hayward.
What?
They might have Gordon Hayward. I'm not sure.
He is.
Yeah, then how are they not? Yeah, like,
because I mean, the Gordon Hayward just got recently injured. But anyways, what I'm saying is, when you're a 10 seed, just to become the 8 seed, do you know how hard that is? First, you have to play the 9 seed. Then you have to play the loser of the 6 of the 7 versus 8 seed. And then you have to beat them. And then you're the 8 seed playing the 1 seed. Pretty much playing the Nets again. And then if you crazily beat the Nets and you're on some crazy 3-series winning streak, you're going to be playing the best team that's still in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's true. It's
impossible as a 10 seed. As a 6 seed, as a 6 seed, it's much easier. You play the 4 seed. In the East, the 4 seed is like someone with like a 41-41 record. So you're playing someone at 500. Okay, you beat them. Great. You're probably going to play after that, you're probably going to play the 5 seed or the 4 seed. So the 4 or the 5.
Yeah, seed. Like I said, next year is going to be the real test for the Bulls next year. Because they're going to have their full team with Vucevic like from the start.
Yeah,
so.
And this is Vucevic's second last year. Next year is Vucevic's second last year in his contract.
Yeah, but anyway, we have to wrap it up. We're at 17 minutes, but thank you guys for watching. Make sure to comment. Podcast coming soon, special guest coming soon.